Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:29 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time. Today is December 4th, and we had a very dynamic day on stock markets in here today. I was speaking yesterday about the fact that a short-term oversold condition had been replaced by a short-term overbought condition, that a number of the primary indices, as well as some of the mega cap shares, were back at areas of potential resistance, and today we saw very clear downward dynamics. That's particularly the case for the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index. It is one of the almost the clearest textbook examples of a type 2 top formation I've seen in years. We had a beautifully consistent advance between 2016 and 2017, a loss of momentum, failed upside breaks, even the sequence of higher reaction lows had continued to be sustained, but the range had persisted. Then we get the massive reaction against the prevailing uptrend. Now, what's quite regular after a type 2 top is a period of right-hand extension, where a lot of people ask what's really changed. Well, if they start to look through the news headlines, they'll be able to rationalize the argument. But the big thing that's changed is that the strategy that worked so well during the advance is no longer working, and that is resulting in people getting stopped out. It's resulting in people starting to think about what to do with cash and whether they should start to redeploy it somewhere else rather than in this market. And that robs the market of a source of potential demand at an already high price. So this is a supply-dominated environment, and the downside can be given the benefit of the doubt in the absence of a sustained move back above the trend mean. If we zoom in and simply look at the daily chart, well, we can see then that there has been a very clear downward dynamic. What's also quite, I think, instructive here is that the FANG index, and it is worth considering that the NY FANG index also is comprised of a number of the Chinese companies, but it peaked back in May. And that coincided with the big decline that we saw on Facebook, and it has held a sequence of lower rally highs since. The trend mean has now turned downwards. The index is encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean, and it did it again in here today. Facebook has been leading on the downside, and it had an enormous downside Q reversal in the middle of the year, and it has had an unrequiting succession of lower rally highs since. And as long as that remains the case, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the downside. Then, the other share that has been leading on the downside this year is Tencent. Now, Tencent has been bucking the trend in the FANGs, and it has been unwinding its oversold condition relative to the trend mean, and it was able to squeeze out an additional advance in here today. But now we're coming to the key psychological Rubicon of the trend mean, and we're really not that far away from it, only about $12. And on a $328 share, that's really not very much. So now the question is whether it is going to be able to sustain a move above it. I think that's quite unlikely, that considering that we now have a short-term overbought condition, that there is a strong likelihood we're going to get some pause and consolidation. And the big question then will be, having broken the sequence of lower rally highs, is it going to start putting in higher reaction lows? If that's a question for Tencent, it's equally an important question for Amazon, because the share pulled back by $104 in here today, and it confirmed resistance in the region of the sequence of lower rally highs. And it's not a downside Q reversal, but it's the biggest decline that we saw since the rather climactic move we saw in October. So that's suggesting that we're going to get at least some consolidation in here. Now the question is whether it is going to find support above that $1,400 area. This is an awfully big question for the share. What's also, I think, noteworthy is that Microsoft, which has now become the biggest share in the world, was also down in a rather dynamic manner in here. It did push on to a new high. The big question now is whether that $100 area will continue to represent support. And that's, I think, a rather important question for what has been one of the best performing of the mega cap shares. There is, of course, the additional point that Tesla was one of the only shares on the Nasdaq today that put in a positive performance, and it's right at the upper side of its range, and it is exhibiting very clear relative strength in here against a background where it has been the most shorted stock in America for the last few months. Well, when we then think about the S&P 500, it's pulling back in a very dynamic manner in here today. And it's held a sequence of higher reaction lows over the course of the last 9 months. And that sequence needs to hold if this is to continue to be deemed to be a support building phenomenon. So if this is in fact a support building phenomenon, and we're in a choppy support building phase for shares like potentially at least shares like Microsoft and Amazon, then why is the market pulling back in such a violent manner? Well, it continues to be fears about whether this is a hiatus in terms of an ongoing trade war, or whether it is the beginning of the end of this trade war. Well, I think if we think about what is it exactly that that Trump wants more than anything else, it's probably to be re-elected. It's an insult to his ego that for everyone to say that it was he's a one-hit wonder. That the only way that he's going to be able to legitimize his place in history would be to win two elections. And that was certainly the case for George W. Bush, he felt, or there was a lot of speculation that it was his brother handed him the state of Florida in the recount in the original election. So he had to go out and prove that he could win an election on his own. And he did that. Now Trump is going to want to do the same thing. But if he creates a recession as a result of all of these actions on the trade war front, well, that's going to be increasingly unlikely considering how much he's identified his the success of the stock market with his presidency. So I think certainly that is something that we should at least pay some due consideration to, that if it looks like the economy is going to turn south, then he's likely to rein in that trade rhetoric really quite, I think, acutely. But we'll see where things go. This is obviously a very fluid environment, but the thing to pay most attention to is whether the S&P 500 can hold the region of the lower side of this range. I think that's certainly one of the most important characteristics here. It's also worth highlighting that the Nasdaq, having been the clear leader on the upside, is now encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean, and it also has that very clear failed upside break back in September, and this is a very clear downward dynamic, and it's still holding this sequence of lower rally highs from that peak in September. So the underperformance of an index that had been the clear outperformer all the way through until September is certainly something that we also need to pay attention to. And of course, it's the Russell 2000 that is most interest rate sensitive, and is what I think is also particularly notable is that it peaked in August and it didn't rally. And now it is distributing, or at least it looks like it's distributing below the trend mean. Well, small cap shares are interest rate sensitive. Well, that also tells us where I think one of the things that people are starting to worry about is the fact that the yield curve spread contracted by an additional 3 basis points in here today. So certainly the pace of the contraction has picked up this week. And it has contracted by about 8 basis points over the last 2 days, or approximately a third. Well, I think there is a very clear commitment by people in the financial industry right now to pay attention to the yield curve spread because they know what happened last time. The one thing that everybody has committed to is not to be caught twice by the same or by ignoring the same kinds of indicators. So now that we see that there is increasingly the potential for an inverted yield curve, people are beginning to price in the potential that there is going to be a recession at some point. It is worth considering that there are some factors that have created this, and that does not obviate the signal that an inverted yield curve would suggest. But the 10-year has pulled back to the region of the trend mean on the yield, and it has rallied pretty significantly on the futures, and it's now testing the region of the trend mean. This is the first area of potential resistance. Every time it's come to the region of the trend mean in the last 3 years, then it has pulled back. So this is a key psychological level for the US 10-year Treasury. Well, you'll remember about 3 or 4 months ago, there was a lot of speculation about an historically large short position in the US Treasuries. Well, that now looks like it is being put under pressure, and the speed of the rally would suggest short covering. And the fact that the 2-year has been relatively inert would help to, I think, begin to lend some credence to that view, because there was nobody talking about an historically large short position in the 2-year. In fact, the 2-year looks like it could rally in here, considering that it's pricing in the potential for 2 and a bit rate hikes. Well, the way the stock market is performing right now, it's questionable whether we may even get one rate hike. And that is, I think, now starting to be priced into the 2-year. There is, I think, significant potential here that the 2-year is going to rally faster than the 10-year, simply because the 10-year is pricing in less inflation. The 2-year should start to begin to price in fewer rate hikes in the not too distant future. Well, we have a significant number of economies that are contracting. The USA is not one of them, but Germany is. And when we look at, for example, the 10-year Bund, it's testing its lows. So we've had a significant rally it's testing the lower side of what is effectively a 2-year range. And that's been substantial buying pressure here coming through for the German Bund, because the German economy contracted last quarter, and it's not doing especially well right now either, especially considering the fact that there is, I think, increasing evidence that demand for automobiles is peaking or may have already peaked. Well, as if we didn't have enough of bad news for the auto sector, that's particularly bad news for Germany, considering that autos represent one of its largest exports. Well, then you have the Italian market is the Italian economy contracted, so do the Swedish, the Swiss, the Mexican, the Japanese, and the Canadian economies all contracted in the third quarter. And that's, I think, rather reflective of the fact that we have slowing growth just about everywhere, but that the USA has been the clear performer in terms of outsized growth. But the question is whether that is going to be sustainable. There's a report I'm going to post today from JP Morgan, which is discussing the fact that asset prices tend to peak ahead of the stock market and the economy. Well, when we open the papers, we can see that the housing market in the UK looks like it's hit at least a near-term peak. The same thing with the Australian housing market. And I think that there is increasing evidence that is also the case in the USA, where supply is increasing and prices are certainly more negotiable. So that is, I think, something that is also worth considering. Well, against these kinds of headwinds, then the question is whether the Federal Reserve is in fact going to raise rates in December. And certainly they want to, and they've been forecasting that they're going to. But we're seeing a lot of, I think, pressure coming to bear on asset prices right now, and the fact that central bank balance sheets have been contracting all year and on many measures are now at a neutral point. Well, that's in part due to the strength of the dollar, but it's also due to the fact that the Federal Reserve has been reducing the size of its balance sheet. But what I find particularly interesting is that the measure has been rallying over the course of the last few sessions. Well, part of the reason for that is because of the dollar. The dollar index has been relatively steady, and part of the reason for that is because the euro is in has got so many stresses. But if we look at the MSCI Emerging Markets Currency Index, then this has weightings for currencies that are identical to the weightings of countries in the emerging markets portfolio, and it has been holding this sequence of higher reaction lows since August. Well, I guess that is September. But now it is right in the region of the trend mean. Now, there is another asset that has held a sequence of higher reaction lows since August, September. It's gold. And gold has also unwound its overextension relative to the trend mean. So the extent to which emerging markets are likely to continue to rally against the dollar, particularly their currencies, is likely to be a deciding factor in whether gold can push back above its respective trend mean. Now, when we look at the gold shares index, well, it has not been rallying in a manner similar to gold, but it has held the sequence of higher reaction lows. Silver prices, having got all the way down to $14, have bounced, and now the question is whether that advance is going to hold. Platinum, having had led on the upside, in fact, has really dropped now to break its sequence of higher reaction lows, and it's testing this psychological $800 level again, whereas palladium has been the clear outperformer. And it was up by another $17 in here today. It continues to hold its sequence of higher reaction lows. It's a little bit overbought in the short term, but there's no indication or there's nothing that has checked momentum just yet. But it's at a new all-time high. And this is, I think, a rather meaningful advance here for palladium, that it has been quite some time before since we've been able to say that a precious metal is at a new all-time high. Well, the question is whether that is going to be sustained if we do start to see the sales of automobiles starting to moderate. Now, when we look at copper prices, well, copper was down an additional 5 cents in here today, so it has failed to sustain this breakout or this move above the $2.90 area, and that is now coming back down to test the sequence of higher reaction lows. Then, when we look at oil prices, well, there was a lot of enthusiasm that a deal had been struck between OPEC and, or well, really between Saudi Arabia and Russia, and the Saudis poured some cold water on that today, so oil prices were coming back down. But I do think that this is now entering a period of support building, considering that the sequence of higher of lower rally highs has been broken. And natural gas prices, which have been pretty much up one day, down the next, were in positive territory in here today. We can definitely see that there is evidence of a triangular pattern here. So when natural gas breaks, it's going to break in a dynamic manner, I suspect. Well, when we look at the outlook for Asian markets, the Shanghai A shares were in positive territory in here today, but they have still not been able to sustain a move back above that 2800 point level. Part of the reason why emerging market currencies have been more positive is because of the renminbi, and that was in additional positive territory in here today and is looking increasingly likely that it will unwind its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. Quite how much appetite the Chinese have for significantly stronger currency remains to be seen. I have my doubts. But certainly there is scope for an additional rally in the short term. Then, if we look at what's going on in Hong Kong, well, the H shares index is right in the region of the trend mean now. It was up an additional 25 cents in here today, but I think considering the move that we've had on Wall Street, there is a, I think, a strong likelihood that it's going to encounter resistance here in the region of the 11,000 level. Then the Japanese market, which had also rallied impressively, was down in a dynamic manner in here today, down 500 points. So that's also going to, I think, pressure the or at least raise the question whether that sequence of higher reaction lows is going to hold. And the Japanese economy did contract in the third quarter. So certainly we have demand starting to come through for the bond markets, some pressure evident in the asset prices of, I guess, what might be considered fixed assets. Gold prices are starting to perk up. Emerging market currencies are doing better. But Europe has got significant challenges, and that is impeding the potential for the euro to continue to advance. There are enormously large questions hanging over the UK. And I think the range of potential outcomes is becoming progressively more polarized. Well, what that is suggesting is that we certainly have a lot of uncertainty right now. Now the big question is the outlook for monetary policy. The markets have had a tailwind from monetary policy for an awfully long time. That's now being removed. So the big question is whether it's going to be brought back in. Well, a weaker dollar would certainly help that. It would start to allow some of the credit to start moving again in the emerging markets. And that would certainly be welcome. But the dollar is more likely to give up some of its advance versus emerging currencies than it is developed market currencies, I suspect. And the yen, in particular, has been quite firm in here today. So that's, I think, confirming support for the yen around this 114 area, at least in the short term. Well, now the big question that I think most people are asking is whether we are going to have a recession if these the yield curve spread continues to contract. Well, it's been the most reliable lead indicator for a future recession for decades, and it's only given one false positive. So I think we would have to conclude that the risks of a recession, either in the latter half of 2019, and this is of course a US recession, or in 2020, would have to be given the benefit of the doubt if we see that the yield curve does become inverted. One additional point is that the S&P 500 Banks Index was down in a really rather dynamic manner in here today. And that is confirming resistance in the region of the trend mean. The European banking sector remains a relative decliner, and it was also in negative territory in here today, and it continues to trend lower. Well, that's where we have some differentiation in China, because the Chinese banks are holding their sequence of higher reaction lows, not least because this advance is state-sponsored. When we look at the banks in Japan, well, they had not rallied particularly well over the last few months, but they are starting to come back down now, and this has now confirmed resistance in the region of 170. So that's, I think, an important point here, that the global banking sector is rolling over. When banks are no longer making money on the yield curve, then they can't extend credit, and they start to underperform. Well, if banks are not rolling out credit and central banks are not extending credit, well, then you are potentially setting up the market for a liquidity squeeze. Well, One of the points that I've seen quoted recently is that private equity is holding an awful lot of cash. Somewhere between about 500 billion and $1.5 trillion has been lined up on the sidelines, but it's not being committed. And part of the reason for that is because prices are very high. But then, if we are pushing towards a tightening liquidity environment, then that's also being reflected in the high yield spreads. And US high yield spreads have broken out, but Asian high yield spreads have been going higher all year, and European high yield spreads have been trending higher, albeit in a relatively modest manner, for about 6 months. So, certainly, I think we have some evidence of tightening credit conditions. If this is not a top formation, then these major stock market indices will hold their respective progressions of higher reaction lows. The rotation into the defensive sectors will persist, but that in itself is not a particularly positive development, considering that what it really suggests is that people are getting out of sexy sectors. And the consumer staples sector was in negative territory in here today. So this is, I think, a very important Rubicon for markets, and the extent to which they can continue to hold these ranges is going to be an awfully big arbiter of investor sentiment pushing through into the end of the year. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.